Walt Disney was a remarkable man of vision. Early in his career, though, a newspaper fired him because they said he had no good ideas. When he started out in Kansas City, he couldn't even sell his cartoons. Some said he had no talent, but Walt Disney had a dream. He found a minister who paid him a small amount of money to draw up advertising pictures for his church. Also, part of the deal, the church let him sleep in their garage. Well, the garage was mouse infested. During that time, which seemed dismal and bleak, seeds were being planted concerning a mouse. Well, Christianity is about God's vision for us. You receive these magnets, hopefully, when you came in, and one of them has the vision statement on it for our church. And there was a lot of study through the scriptures and prayer that was spent drawing up that vision statement. And our desire is for you to take that and remember it each day and to pray for the vision here at Calvary. Christianity is God's vision for us. We need to dream. We need to trust God sometimes for the impossible even. And even when something seems hopeless and no life, God may be saying to us, look what I can do. In 2019, we can choose to live life in the same old manner. Let's face it, not really trusting God to challenge us, not trusting God to change us, just kind of going through the motions. Or we can find what I've entitled this morning, Life in the Valley of Dead Bones. Our scripture is a prophetic vision of life from death. The spiritual song, Dim Bones, Dim Bones, Dim Dry Bones, actually comes from this passage of Scripture. God revealed how He can take the impossible, dead, dried up bones, and bring about life. And within this story, this prophetic vision that we saw with Ezekiel, that we can also see a message for us as we move forward into this year 2019. Well, our passage of scripture this morning is found in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, and we begin with verse 1. We find there it says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and He led me around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, You know." Well, Ezekiel lived during the days of the Babylonian Empire. Jerusalem was decimated by the Babylonians. Jews were then displaced to other areas throughout the empire. This was typical for what the Babylonians did when they conquered an area. They took the population and moved them into different areas. So think about it. If you're not there with like-minded people, you have less chance of rebelling against the empire. In the midst of this, Ezekiel had a vision. A vision that Scripture says, led by the Spirit of the Lord. Ezekiel is taken to this strange valley. It's a valley that's filled with human bones. They're everywhere. The Lord led Ezekiel around the valley to see the sights, and all he could see were more bones. The bones were not just dry, they're described as very dry. And the intent here is there's not an ounce of life that's found within these bones. There's no hope, there's no future, at least in man's eyes. God spoke to Ezekiel and He said, "Son of man, can these bones live?" In other words, is there any chance, Ezekiel, that these dried up old bones can come back alive again? Can muscle and cartilage bring these bones back to life? Ezekiel didn't say yes, he didn't say no. He gave what on the surface may appear to be a safe answer. Actually, it was a good answer. He said, "Oh Lord God, you know. You know. God, I'm not sure what to say in this. I'm not sure what the answer to give you, but you know the answer." You know, that by itself is a lesson for us. How often do we see the impossible and we immediately say, there's no life there? Instead, we should say, I trust you, God, for life where it does not exist. Oh, Lord God, you know. Look at beginning with verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinew upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Yes, God does know how to bring life to dry old bones. Yes, God does know how to bring life when something appears to be dead. But we have to understand this was a two-step process that occurred in this vision. The first step was Ezekiel was to speak or prophesy the words of God to the bones. So Ezekiel began to preach. He told the bones what God told him to say, and shades of life started to occur. Bones started moving to bones. The toe bone connected to the foot bone, and the foot bone connected to the ankle bone connected to the leg bone connected to the knee bone connected to the thigh bone to the hip bone connected to the backbone to the neck bone to the head bone, and so forth. Sinew, flesh, skin attached to these bones. But something interesting, life still did not happen. There was still no life there. It was still Death Valley at this point. Ezekiel spoke the word and movement occurred, but true life didn't take place. Why? Step two hadn't taken place. Ezekiel then prophesied to the wind. In Hebrew, the word for wind and the word for breath are the exact same word. Ezekiel called on the winds from all directions, and the winds breathed into these lifeless corpses, and life entered their bodies. That which seemed so hopeless was now alive. That which seemed dead moved around. And this new life, the scripture says, became a great army. Well, look at our last verses, beginning with 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We're indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from the graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. He's saying, Ezekiel, this prophecy, this vision is a picture of what's going to happen to Israel. Things look so hopeless to that nation right now. They're spread out all over the place, all over the empire. It appears that they're not even a nation anymore, but I'm about to bring new life into this dead corpse. My spirit is going to enter their lives. They'll come back together again and they will come alive. And after my people come back together as a nation, they will know that I am the Lord. What changed the situation of the valley of dry bones? But most important, what will change the dryness and the death that we can feel often in our very lives? Well, the first is the thought of the word and the wind. The word and the wind. God speaks and God breathes. The spoken word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. Both must occur for life to occur. The word in Hebrew for breath and wind is also the very word for spirit. Ezekiel spoke the words of God, and there was movement that took place. But life didn't happen yet. Life still did not exist. The spirit needed to come and solidify these words. How true this is throughout Scripture. Go back to the very beginning, during creation. God spoke creation into existence. But life did not occur in humans until God breathed into Adam's nostrils. The Word and the Spirit brought life. See, you can read this Bible. You can read this and you can receive a tremendous amount of light from reading it. But these words do not come alive until the Holy Spirit speaks it into your life. Light is not enough. Light must have sight. The Word of God breathed into Adam. The Word of God breathes into us. Light must also become sight. Sight comes by the power of the Holy Spirit, the light and the sight. The Pharisees in Jesus' day, they were the most scholarly Bible students around. They knew their scriptures backward and forward. Most of them had what we call the Old Testament memorized. They knew it by heart. But Jesus said this to the Pharisees. He said in Matthew 23:27, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within are full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. They were the best Bible scholars, but all they had was light, and they had no sight. Jesus said, because you just have light, you're still dead. You have no wind, you have no breath, you have no spirit within you. You cannot fully understand the words without the Spirit. And I'm afraid in churches across our land, there we have many who know the words of the Bible, but they don't truly understand. Because the Spirit is not moving within them. The Spirit is not guiding them. They are like walking dead. They have sinew. They have flesh. They have skin. But they have no breath. They have no wind. They have no spirit within them. There are some who are born again Christians even. But they kind of live like they're dead. They have no vision, no faith, no hope, no change, no spiritual guidance. And a church that lives off the Word but never challenged by the Holy Spirit is not alive. Light without sight is death. Well, I want us to look at where light and sight can turn death into life, some areas. The first one is the simplest of them all. It's the most basic: eternal death to eternal life. Eternal death to eternal life. The Pharisees, they knew their scripture, as we said. They knew scriptures about the Messiah. They actually have scriptures about the suffering Messiah. Actually, beginning next week, we're going to do a 5-week series looking at the scriptures within Isaiah concerning the suffering Messiah. They had those, but they refused to accept what they read, that the Messiah had to suffer. Because see, they could only grasp the conquering hero Messiah. They could only grasp the need of a conquering hero because it matched their ideas of personal power and prestige. Jesus pointed out humility. He came and pointed out compassion. He pointed out sacrifice, and yet they could not grasp it. They could not understand it because they were not open to the Holy Spirit's call in their life. Their eyes saw words in front of them, but they couldn't see Jesus, the Word. They could not repent of their sins. They could not believe in Jesus because they saw themselves as being righteous already, righteous on their own. They believed that they had followed all the laws. They had followed all the rituals. They read the words. They read the words in the Old Covenant. They saw the laws. They saw the rituals. They said, "We followed these, and that's enough." They could not see their own sin. And the Holy Spirit could not work in them. Their lives led to eternal death because they had light but no sight. The world is filled with people who are so full of self, pulling themselves up by their own bootstraps, finding righteousness by all the good things I do in life. I'm sure to get in. They may even know some or a whole lot of Bible, but their self-righteousness blocks God from moving in their lives. Their self-righteousness keeps the Holy Spirit at arm's length away from them, and they will sadly be met by eternal death. But eternal life is just a step of humility away. John, the 3rd chapter, we have that great story of Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night. And Jesus tells Nicodemus he needs to be born again, become something new, born again. When we repent to God, when we repent that we are sinners, that our nature is that of sin, when we believe with all our heart that Jesus is the Son of God, exactly who he said he is, that he died for us, when we reach this level of humility, then the Spirit, the wind, the breath enters our lives and makes us new, makes us born again. We change from eternal death to eternal life. Dry bones come alive again. And I encourage this morning, if you have not made that step, don't leave here without doing that today. But too often, even those of us who have eternal life, who have been born again, we can at times in our lives seem to have dry bones. We walk in this life and it's like we're rattling along and the Spirit just doesn't seem to be moving within us. And see, then there's a need to another type of change, from relational death to relational life. Relational death to relational life. It's that relationship with God and others, but especially the relationship with God, that gets harmed in our walk. Christians have this tendency of throwing water on the flame or the fire called the Holy Spirit. Our lives become miserable in many ways because we feel more like dried up bones as Christians instead of live bones. Do you ever have a period of time where you go, where you think back in the past, you remember this really spiritual moment you had years ago, and you go, why aren't I there anymore? It's because you've had a relational separation with God. The flame retardant that we use is called sin. And we let it build up. And maybe it's a sin of what we call commission. It's sins we commit toward others, sins we even commit toward God. Or maybe, just maybe, it's a sin of what we call omission. It's the sin of failing to do what we should be doing. And honestly, I think the sin of omission is the deadliest for churches and for Christians than commission. Oh, nothing's crankier than a Christian who's living in a sin of omission. They fail to serve. They fail to love. Think about it. The banners up here, love God, love people. Jesus said they're the two greatest commandments. And once you do these commandments, you go cover all the other commandments. And I think, do we really show this type of relationship? Or do we omit this in our lives? Do we not follow these commands by omission? Have you spent time this week just loving God at one point? Or more? That would be omission if you haven't. We fail to serve, fail to love, fail to change. We fail to be humble as we should. We cannot see that our omission is actually destroying our relationship with God and with others. Living bones drying up inside. Relational death setting in. Oh, it's relational death happens in different ways. It happens, as I've said, with God. With God, the Holy Spirit cannot move in our lives because we have this sin in our lives. The Holy Spirit is our connecting point to the Heavenly Father. The Spirit was sent to live in you. But whether our sin is commission or omission, it keeps us from relating to God. Life becomes a dry bone life. Or maybe it's the relationship with self. You ever thought of that you have a relationship with yourself? When the Spirit is quenched, we really cannot relate to ourselves properly. Why do I say that? Because then life becomes about my wants, my needs, my stuff, my way. And when people within a church become about my needs, my wants, my stuff, my way, it kills the church. Sadly, it creeps in so slowly, though. It's not something just overnight happens. It creeps in slowly, and we can't see this creeping relational death within ourselves, and life becomes a dry bone life. But then the other relationship is with others. Sin has invaded the fabric of all of our life. Life is about now taking sides. It's those people versus these people or my people. You know, some people that you used to be fond of, you know, now they've changed. Or have you changed because of a creeping relational death has entered? Life becomes a dry bone life. We need to move from this relational death as followers of Jesus Christ back to relational life again. How can relational life return? Well, turn to the face of God. Come back to the face of God. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have our monthly prayer time back in the choir room. I hope you'll be here at 6 o'clock. We're going to start off with something special. We have a church member who's drastically in need physically, and we're going to spend time praying over them at the beginning, and I hope you'll come and be a part of that. But we need to come to the face of God. It's the reason why we call that prayer time before the face of God, because it's coming back to Him, come into His, humbly into His presence. Let the Holy Spirit point out your sin of commission or omission. Repent, ask God to cleanse your heart. It's amazing when we get straight with God, it also straightens out the relationship with ourselves and our relationship with others. But let's think about one more need, and honestly, this one may be the hardest one to understand. I call it ecclesia death to ecclesia life. And your question very well is, what in the world is ecclesia? Well, that's actually the Greek word that's typically used in the New Testament, the New Covenant, that's translated as church. Church. But our English word does not give justice to this word ecclesia. Our English word church really doesn't define what this word ecclesia means. Ecclesia is an assembly who's called out, or even simpler, as you see on the screen, called out ones. Whenever you see in Scripture where it says church, it is saying called out ones. But the term church, where we get the derivation of the word church, means something totally different. Our word church actually comes from German language. It comes from the German word Kirche. And Kirche means a sacred place. Do you notice a difference? Ecclesia are people who are called out for a purpose of God. The literal meaning of church is a building where churchy people go to. There's nothing wrong with using the word church. That's not what I'm getting at. As long as we understand what it really should mean. You know, there's a song, and I haven't heard it as much lately, but when I grew to understand what the word church actually means, or ecclesia means, I always get a little knot in my stomach. It's the song, "We're Standing on Holy Ground." Well, no, it's not the ground that's holy. It's not the building that's holy. It's you and I who are holy because the Holy Spirit lives in us. The ecclesia is holy, not a building, not a ground. It's the ecclesia, the people. We are an ecclesia, a living, breathing, called out body of believers. But when ecclesia becomes just a sacred place, dry bones evolve. Instead of being an ecclesia of life, we become an ecclesia of death. These dry bones are usually a church with the sin of omission. Omission. In other words, a church not doing what called out ones are called out to do. Ecclesia is every single follower of Jesus being the ecclesia. Mentioned in the Lord's Supper and this whole concept of old covenant versus new covenant. In the old covenant, it began with this tabernacle, this tent, this building made out of looking like a tent. And then when Solomon came along, King Solomon, they replaced it with the temple. But that tabernacle, that temple, had a place there called the Holy of Holies, and it was the connection point between God and man. It's where God came and met with man at the Holy of Holies. But that was the old covenant. The new covenant comes along, and there's no need for a temple like that anymore. Why? Because as Paul describes, as Paul says, we are now the temple. You and I, are, as followers of Christ, are the temple now. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. We are the connection point. Not this building's not the connection point. It's you and I individually. You're the connecting point, whether you're at work or at home or walking outside or whatever the case may be. Think of it this way. If you ever verbally or any other way attack a fellow Christian, you're taking a sledgehammer to God's temple. Because they're the temple of God. The ecclesia of death, may have profound studies of Scripture, but the Holy Spirit is no longer the guide. As I said, it's not a problem having buildings. That's not it. It's just making sure we understand that church is people. Church is not a building. Light without sight is a lifeless bone. How can these bones live? How can they come alive again? The ecclesia must repent of sins, both individually and collectively. Understand, called out ones, true ecclesia, are to touch the world outside these walls. And then this isn't a sacred place. This is a hospital. This is a place where people come to get well spiritually with God. Recommit to discipleship, which means a life of change, a life of growth, no matter your age. Be humble before God that you don't know it all. I don't know it all. I'm learning every day. Love sacrificially all around you, not just those who are like you, and surrender your will and reclaim the lordship of Jesus Christ. We are called out, not called into a sacred place. When we are humble, repentant, the Holy Spirit will bring sight, wind, breath into our lives. When an ecclesia gets serious about repentance, God will reveal great things, and ecclesia life will breathe fresh and new with God's vision and sense of adventure for us. When Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida opened in 1971, Mrs. Disney sat beside Walter Cronkite. Walt Disney had passed away a few years prior to that, and Cronkite at one point leaned over to Mrs. Disney and said, "Wouldn't it be great if Walt were here to see this today?" And Mrs. Disney wisely replied, "If Walt had not first seen this, you would not be seeing it today." Well, I'm not putting Walt Disney on the same level of Jesus Christ, but Jesus sees what we can be. Jesus sees the vision. He has a vision for us of what we can be. And there can be life in the valley of dead bone, dry bones. And whether that life needs to be this morning for you, eternal life, and you finally come to the point that you turn your life over to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior today, if that's the step you need to take, we would come and make that commitment today. Find eternal life in Him, that newness, become that new creation we talked about in Lord's Supper. Or maybe that life is the relational life where you find that new freedom and love for God. You remember things in the past when, and just all of a sudden you just really feel hollow within. It's not the same Christian walk with God that you used to have. And you renew that love for Him, for others, and for yourself even. Or maybe that life is found by us together becoming the ecclesia, the called out ones of God, that God has called us to be. But these bones can only come alive when it is no longer about us. Instead, it must be God's living word breathing into our lives by way of the Holy Spirit. Then these bones can come alive again in God's Spirit. Well, as we come now to our time of decision-making, if God has pressed something upon your heart that you want to come and pray about, maybe it's accepting Christ or some other need, you can come and I'll be here to pray with you, or you can come and kneel up front. Maybe it is a relational issue. Maybe you've gotten away from God and it's time to renew that relational life with Him. Whatever God has called, be open to it today. Let's go to Him now in prayer and then we'll sing together. Lord, thank You. Thank You for this message that You gave to Ezekiel, Lord, some 2,500 plus years ago. And Lord, how through it we can even apply that to the church today. Lord, help us to be people desiring to walk in you, to, yes, study your word, but to allow that word to be refreshed within us by way of the Holy Spirit. I pray if there's someone here, Lord, who does not know you as Lord and Savior, who's never found eternal life, that, Lord, they will make that decision today. Lord, I know there are others that, Father, maybe their relationship with you hasn't been what it should be, and they're experiencing more relational death than relational life, and that, Lord, you will, Lord, bring your fire within them again. Help them to see, Lord, what it is that's keeping them from that strong relationship. And then, Lord, I pray as a church that we become the ecclesia life that you have visioned us to be. That, Lord, we will see where what we are admitting in our walk with you as a church, and that, Lord, we will turn that over to you and ask your strength to guide us to become that place, that people, rather, that you have called us to be. Lord, guide us now. May your will be done. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.